Welcome to the Visionary Chronicles. We have a very special guest on this week's podcast, David Meltzer. David's been a guest across many high-profile media platforms, such as Entrepreneur, TEDx, ESPN, and Forbes, where he's a top 10 speaker. These are just a few of the high-profile outlets David's been a guest on, too many to mention. I've only got him for a short period of time today, so those are the only ones I can mention for now. But I got to tell you, he's got a long list, so we're very privileged to have him on today. So in addition, David also hosts the popular shows Office Hours, The 2-Minute Drill, and is host of the Playbook podcast. And his life mission, which is very impressive, to empower over 1 billion people to be happy. I love that mission. I'm not sure where you find the time, David, but I'm glad you're committed to these principles. You've impacted so many lives along the way. So I'd like to welcome David Meltzer to the Visionary Chronicles podcast. David, how are you today?
Fantastic. We got this Meltzer combo. We should be able to empower so many people with a vision of their potential. So thanks for having me.
Yeah, David and I had a little quick conversation yesterday on our name and how similar it is and how we're missing out on the seltzer side of the business. So we were hoping that we could combine the names and be able to get a little licensing off of that, but no such luck. So again, very privileged to have you on, David. I want to get to some questions, and kind of how I do this, David, is I do a little bit of past, present, business life and day to day. So we'll get to many of these as we can. I just want it to be an open dialogue and have us talk about this today. And my opening is, I always mention this because I'm a good old German boy, as I'm sure you are. And I grew up in North Dakota. And people often ask me, what does an Eskimo look like? And I said, well, I'm not an Eskimo, but I did grow up in North Dakota. So I'm curious, where did you grow up and how did that affect who you became?
Well, I was born in Akron, Ohio, which had, I think, a great impact on me because my dad left when I was 5 and my mom was a single mom with 5 kids who worked 2 jobs, packed her dinner in a paper bag between the jobs so she could fill up turnstiles at convenience stores with greeting cards just so we could eat. But through my long journey, I realized that people that are from Ohio especially have a different work ethic. They have a different perspective on consistent, persistent pursuit. And maybe it was, you know, the rubber capital of the world at Firestone and the blue collar type of environment that Pittsburgh and Akron had. But I found that, you know, one of the biggest blessings in my life is that I have an Ohio character, and I got to move to San Diego when I was 9, but I lived in Ohio long enough to establish the character and the work ethic that my grandparents and parents had in Ohio, and in a more laid back environment in San Diego, California, I really stood out when it came to consistent, persistent behavior.
Yeah, I've got the same, David. I've got that Midwest bloodline, and people often ask me, I says, I wouldn't have traded growing up there for anything. It just instilled these values that to this day, I still carry with me and very fortunate to have. The second follow-up on that real quick, David, is what did you want to become when you were young?
You know,
it's an interesting question, right?
It's easy for me because I thought about it every day from the day my dad left, that I just wanted to be rich. I was a kid who, even in second year of law school, sitting on the end of my bed when my oldest brother passed away while I was in law school with $100,000 of law loans in a recession in the early 90s, sat on my edge of my bed and said, God, if you let me pay off my law loans and become rich enough to buy my mom a house, I will shovel shit with my hands 6 days a week, 12 hours a day, in gratitude. So my only mission was to be rich. And I thought sports was going to be the modality that would make me rich. But I fell back into what my mom believed our biggest strength was, which was education, and went to law school and provided me so many options, opportunities, and touches of favor when I graduated.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think we're both have the bloodlines of Midwest, but now we're officially Californians. So it's but we never forget. I'm still a Vikings fan and a Twins fan. So
right on. Well, those are good places to be fans of. And I shifted over to the Chargers and the Padres, so I'm in much more pain than you are. But I always tell people Midwest is a great place to be from.
Yeah. Yeah. We get our value for the money. And I say that with the Twins roster all the time. Value for money. So, but yeah, so that's always a great starting question, David. So the next is kind of getting into the business side, which our listeners love to hear about, is these visionaries and entrepreneurship. I know we have a passion for two things. One is entrepreneurship and the love of sports. And when you look at these visionaries, you know, we talked a little bit about this yesterday, so I'm going to have you follow up on this question. It says, you know, who would you say today is a visionary and why? And for those that didn't hear the answer yesterday, I'm sure you're going to hear it again, which is great. It was a great answer. So David, who would that be in your life, or who would be a visionary and why?
Yeah, well, I'd say in my life, it was Lee Steinberg, who was the most notable sports agent in the world. They made the movie Jerry Maguire about it, and I was blessed to be the CEO of his company. But I would have been hired to run the most notable sports agency if Lee Steinberg wasn't a visionary. Before anyone thought about sustainable practices, Lee Steinberg created the Sporting Green Alliance. Before anyone had a blog, Lee Steinberg and Steve Young sold a $25 million blog for sports. Most people don't know that. Before anyone saw that even, he hired the CEO from Samsung, the phone division, that would be me, to be the CEO of a sports agency, even though I wasn't even a certified agent at the time. I had a law degree, played sports in college. So my personal experience with the greatest visionary would be Lee Steinberg. In public, I think the greatest visionary is Elon Musk. And I know we talked about Twitter. People are very short in the way that they see things. One thing about visionaries is they often get into trouble because they see things much longer than other people see them. And I became someone who thinks very, very long. I believe in aggregate effect and compound interest. And Elon Musk is such a long thinker. I know this short-term purchase of Twitter seems to be the first really, really bad move from this visionary. But I'm not counting out the genius of Elon Musk and what he's doing. And we'll see 10 years from now, just like I've seen other people laugh and scoff and make fun of visionaries, eventually they applaud them.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. It's those that can see the future while others are doubting it are the ones that break through those barriers and find success somehow. And, you know, I look back on Thomas Edison, where I said, if he would have stopped at 9,999 in the light bulb, we wouldn't have light in our world. So it's an interesting dichotomy with people when they, you know, the risk takers. And the other one I always listen to is Seth Godin, where he said, safe is risky. You know, it's one of those things where entrepreneurs don't have that in their vocabulary. But, you know, these visionaries at some point, David, they're entrepreneurs, right? And, you know, what would you say is probably the most difficult part of being an entrepreneur?
I think rejection. You know, I think other people's opinion and rejection are the two most difficult things, not just from people we don't know, which is hard enough, but there's something called ignorant arrogance that people get confused about. And so out of any profession, entrepreneurs face ignorant arrogance. And ignorant arrogance is easy to take, as I suggested, from the people that you don't know, meaning the haters of the world are just going to laugh at you, scoff at you, and make fun of you. That's easy to take because you know they're ignorant and arrogant. But the ones that are really creating the most resistance in an entrepreneur's life are the people that love us the most. And let me share with you why. And I can only tell you this from my experience of being a parent. I came to this epiphany. I am so much in love with my children that I am more afraid for them than I am for myself. And therefore, I find myself in a perspective of ignorant arrogance out of love, not hate like a hater, but out of love, that I give my kids advice that sucks because I'm afraid for them. And this is a very big detriment to an entrepreneur when your parents and your siblings and your aunts and your uncles and your best friends, who you know love you more than they love themselves, are telling you, doctor, lawyer, or failure, don't start that business. The internet's a fad. That's a bad idea. You're going to lose everything. Or even worse, our wives, our spouses. And what we don't realize is the difficulty that we have with ignorant arrogance doesn't lie in the haters of the world who we can discount and laugh at them laughing at us, but it's the people that love us the most that cause us the most detriment to being entrepreneurs, to being visionaries.
Yeah, that's a great point. You have to have people other than yourself behind you as an entrepreneur. I was one that literally started with nothing. I had a blue collar family and built something out of nothing. And I kind of take offense to some people that loosely use the word entrepreneur when they start with $100 million and make $150 million. There's not a whole lot of risk in that. So,
no. So that's you're looking at someone that started with nothing, made over $100 million, lost it, and made it back again.
Yeah.
So I know the value of what you're talking about.
Even more impressive, David, and why we have you on the Visionary Chronicles today is to tell that story. So it's an amazing story. One that if wasn't true, you probably wouldn't believe that actually happened. So
I always tell people, if I knew what I had to go through in order to get to where I am today, I'm not sure I'd have the nerve and the nerve, like just the energy to do it. But we, you know, as entrepreneurs, we don't know what it's going to take.
Yeah.
So somehow we just keep going in that Midwest attitude. We'll just keep going.
Yeah, I'm sure you've gone through it. And my wife laughs at me all the time. She says, I've got a lot of dog years on me from being an entrepreneur. You know, it's like for every five in a regular business, the entrepreneurs, you know, it's like 10 or 20. So it's
sure.
You age really quickly.
Guaranteed.
Hey, so on that, David, just a quick one, quick answer to this one. They ask me this all the time, and I think it's kind of an interesting one. It says, if you could have dinner with one person, dead or alive, who would it be?
Jesus Christ, no Good. Doubt. Yeah, for sure. It would solve so many problems.
Yep. you and I have that in common, so that's a great thing to have in common. The next thing is what I call kind of life, you know, and you talked about family, you talked about the support that they've given you over the years and having that Midwest upbringing, I'm sure, from your parents is, you know, what's the most important lesson you've learned in life?
Ask for help. I know it's not one that a lot of people talk about, but people ask me, how the hell do you lose over $100 million? Because I thought that I had to do it myself. I didn't realize that true humility comes from asking for help of others, finding people who sit in a situation you want to be in and asking them for help.
Good. Very, very good and concise and useful answer. So here's a couple others, quick ones. What is your biggest passion?
Oh, kindness, by far. Just,
good.
It's simple, just kindness. I'm passionate about being kind and teaching other people to be kind.
Yeah, and I kind of an add-on to that, David, mine is always been humility, you know, being humble, right? It's this leaders that forget that many times to share in the riches and rewards of your life, and nobody's done it by themselves, but that's a great one. And the other one, which is on the other side, is what keeps you up at night?
My kids.
Okay.
And they're
okay.
Older. They're
yeah.
Older. They don't physically keep me up like they did when they were under five.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I fight of the biggest fear is, you know, I love them so much that it obviously has an equation that unfortunately brings about fear.
Yeah, I have the same. Whether they're brand newborns all the way through, I've got kids that have now gone through college, and I still worry about as much as I did when they were 6 months old. So well,
my mom worries as much about me. She told me I'm 54, so I don't think it ever ends.
Yeah, and the other one, which I'm sure is going to be your children, is what's the proudest moment of your life?
Yes, you know, every day. My children bring so much. They bring three things to me. I tell them all the time: love, pride, and of course, defense, meaning I always have their back. So I tell them every day, I love you, I'm proud of you, and I always have your back. And I think it's important as parents and employers, whatever, we have to know how much that someone has our back. And, you know, I don't know if there was something when I was young because I lost, you know, my father left and I didn't have anyone that I felt had my back, but it makes a really big difference when you know someone has your back.
Yeah, that's a great answer and one that we're all very proud of to have family and also ones that support you when you're down so you can support the others when they're down. It's a barrier of life everybody faces, but you can't help others unless you've been through it yourself, which you certainly have. So it's a great experience. So a couple quick ones. Other also, David, is kind of a quick day to day. And it's, I love these questions because they ask me is, what are you not very good at?
Patience. I'm not very good at patience. And I work on it. I know it's ironic, pragmatically, if I have infinite patience, everything will happen immediately. But I just can't practice what I preach.
Yeah, we've all been there. And what's your favorite book?
Two books. So Think and Grow Rich, Napoleon Hill, I read every day. And A Course in Miracles, I read every day as well. So those are the two books that I read every single day.
Good. I know that's for me, I've got my bookshelf of a couple hundred books, and they asked me that question, and I really got to think that one out. So, but those are two great ones that I have in my shelf as well. So I reflect on those all the time. And so, hey, on the podcast, I know you've got the Playbook podcast. And the question is, what made you want to create the Playbook podcast?
Gary Vee. So I had a radio show, and 6 years ago, Super Bowl, he said, Dave, you need to have a podcast of all these amazing people. You're the Napoleon Hill of podcasting. You're the only one that can bring thousands of the spirits of excellence. And you're such a great interviewer. You got to do this. And I was like, dude, this is 6 years ago. There's way too many podcasts. I'm too late to the game. There's 200,000 podcasts there were at the time. And he said, Dave, you don't get it. You got to do this for me. Trust me. And so I said, who could I not trust? If Gary Vee's telling me I have to do a podcast, then I started doing them every Tuesday. And now I do 10 a week. I do an entrepreneur one and a sports and entertainment one called The Playbook. And we are over 1,400 episodes in 6 years.
Wow. Wow. And you get no sleep at night.
I have an unwinding routine. I got great recovery and access. Another great piece of advice for people to make sure they go to sleep every night to recover and access the information to plateau and grow and accelerate every day.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know Gary's very persuasive, so I'm sure you probably couldn't have turned him down on that one. So
no.
and what was your most successful episode, and why do you think it did so well?
Wow. So I'm not even sure what the most, let me tell you, I do know the
second. When did it stick out in your mind?
Yeah. The second most downloaded one. So I've had everyone from Deepak Chopra to Sadhguru, Tillman Fertitta, Jerry Jones, I have Cameron Diaz, Dan Aykroyd, Gary Vee, Rob Dyrdek, Bill, anyone you can mention I've had. But the one guy that has the most is Mike Mooseberger. And Mike Mooseberger was a cup of coffee NFL star who had a tremendous story about how his brother, who was a drug addict, was so high that he killed his own family on accident when they came home late at night. And then Mike struggled trying to, by himself, process and deal with the murder of his entire family, including his brother. When he woke up after being on drugs, he killed himself when he realized what he was doing. So as a Wake Forest superstar football player, he got called off of the sidelines to find out his whole family was dead. And then he talks about his journey of trying to do it on his own. And if I get choked up thinking about it, I'm not going to spoil the episode, but if you want to watch or listen to an episode that will change your life, download The Playbook and listen to Mike Mooseberger's episode. Forget Ray Lewis, forget Apollo Ono, forget your favorite fans. Mike Mooseberger's the most impactful episode and second most downloaded episode next to Ed Milet. And Ed and I just make magic together. So we're very popular and our audiences love us. So that's why I think it outdid Mike Mooseberger.
That's great. Isn't that great with podcasting? Now you can tell these stories and it could be anything, right? I mean, I listen to you Ask Me Anything, David, and I'm amazed at the questions you get asked and you're able to come up with an answer. I never ceases to amaze me. So, but the podcast, it's fun to be able to tell these stories. So on ending here, I wanted to kind of ask you a couple things, David. And again, thank you so much for being on the Visionary Chronicles today. We obviously are very privileged to have you with us. And I have a couple final questions. One is, what's your favorite quote?
Be kind to your future self. Do good deeds.
Good. And a final piece of advice for our listeners.
Well, I gave the one. I want to reiterate it. Ask for help. Live in radical humility. If there's two things you can do with help is one, find someone in a situation that you want to be in, ask them for help. But also, when I talk about asking for help, find out how you can help others. So the two fastest ways to get to where you want to be is not only finding someone that's already there for directions, but helping someone get what they want. Those are the two fastest ways to get what you want, and both require somebody asking for help.
Perfect. Great. Thanks, David. I really appreciate it. And for getting more information with David, he's got a free copy, that's amazing, of his book at just email David at, yep. at David at dmeltzer, D-M-E-L-T-Z-E-R, I know that, .com, for a free copy of his book. And he also has free Friday trainings, which is also amazing. So both of those are available on David's website at dmeltzer.com. Again, David, thanks for being on the Visionary Chronicles today. A privilege to have you, and you have a great Thanksgiving with your family and friends.
Thank you. Let's do this again. I'm here to be of service. And Brian, thank you for providing such great knowledge, not just in this episode, but in so many, to your community. It is appreciated and impactful. And have a wonderful Thanksgiving.
Perfect. Thanks, David. Thank you so much, and have a great Thanksgiving. Well, that was a great Visionary Chronicles podcast. Hopefully you enjoyed it as much as I did. David was a great guest to have on today. And also the first in a series that we're going to have going through 2023. So David kicked that off for us as well on the Visionary Chronicles. So again, to refresh, some of these shows that David heads up is The Office Hours, The 2-Minute Drill, and also he's the host of the Playbook Podcast. So again, thanks, David, for being part of the Visionary Chronicles today. So just to refresh, also on the Visionary Chronicles, you can catch us on Spotify, iHeart, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, Pandora, pretty much any outlet that podcasts are on. And you can also reach out to me directly at brian@liquidmindsight.com, B-R-Y-A-N at L-I-Q-U-I-D-M-I-N-D-S-I-T-E.com, Facebook at Brian Smeltzer33, Instagram at Brian_Smeltzer, Twitter at Brian Smeltzer, also on LinkedIn. So feel free to reach out to me. If you've got any guests, give me some comments, feedback, and also subscribe to the Visionary Chronicles podcast. We would appreciate it. So again, thanks for your time. Look forward to the next Visionary Chronicles.